So we're holding on page 188 in Brachos, the middle of Os Kuf Chaf Gimel, the third line of the middle sized lines. Am I, if it's 505? Okay. We'll do the keep that in mind. I thought it was 513. Okay. So the Gemara had started discussing matters involving dreams, and one thing was, so yesterday you learned all about the Ribbono Shel Olam that we say by Birkas Karinim about dreams. The last thing was that one of the three Amoraim who were sitting together had talked about that if a person is going into a city and is concerned about an Ayin Hara, then he should say a certain lachash that says that I'm from the descendants of Yosef, where the Ayin Hara doesn't affect them. Not necessarily are all Jews descended from Yosef, but in a certain sense, all of us are considered to descend from Yosef because he sustained everybody during the famine. In fact, the Pasuk says, "And it noyed katzon Yosef." So the Gemara continues. The idachol ma'ena bisha delay. Now, what happens? Till now, we were talking about that a person is concerned about an ayin hara that other people in the city might put on him. So then he says this lachash. Now, what about the other way around? Now, what if he's concerned that he may give them ayin hara? So then, lech ye'atarpid nechira dismala. Then what he should do is look down at his. Then what he should do is look down at his left nostril. What's the symbolism of that? So Mephoshim talk about that it's brought in there, that's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, that the different Royim, the shepherds, the great leaders of the Jewish people are represented by different parts of the face. One of them being that Yosef is we go through Abraham is the right eye and Yitzchak is the left eye and so on and so forth. So it comes out Yosef corresponds to the left nostril. So therefore it's the same idea. You're looking down at the left nostril and that way you're bringing down the power of Yosef. Continues the Gemara. Posach idach ba'amar, of the three chachamim who were sitting together, another one started saying, Hayman b'cholish, if a person is not feeling well, yom akama lo'leimim midi, or legally, the first day he shouldn't say anything, or the other gear say he shouldn't reveal it. Ki heichid lo'litra mazole. This way his mazol is not weakened, in the sense, Marashah says, it's al-derech, like al-tiktach pelasotin. Once you have, you're saying, you're making, you're announcing, the people are announcing that he's not feeling well, that itself brings about that he's not going to be feeling well. Mikan ve'elach, legally, after that, he might as well tell about it, people will visit him, but after the first day, obviously his mazel was weak anyway, he's sick for more than one day, so then let him go tell. As in fact, he had a rabba. As we have an example where Rava would do just that. This was actually also an Ein Yaakov a few weeks back in Nedarim. But the Gemara tells when Rava, you have a cholish yom akama on the first day when Rava was sick, loy magli, he wouldn't reveal. He wouldn't reveal. He wouldn't let anybody know about it. So the people in the household would know, but that was about it. Mikan ve'elach, after that, if the sickness was any longer than a day, then just the opposite. He would tell his servant. There's different girsois over here. The girsa in square brackets is how it's printed in the Gemaras. That the first day he wouldn't reveal. After that, omele l'shamei pukuvach rizua lai b'shuka. After that, he'd tell his servant go announce it in the marketplace. The girsa in parenthesis, which is the original girsa of Ein Yaakov, is a little bit different. The first day omele l'shamei, he would tell his servant. Troiku gali, close the doors. Voloi tegalu, don't let anybody know. Don't let anybody know what's going on in the house. Lamacher, the next day, if he was still sick, amalei pukuvach rizu alai b'shuka, then he would say, go ahead and announce it in the marketplaces. And in fact, the announce rava cholish, announce over and over. Rava is not feeling well. Mander rochim bi, so whoever loves me. Whoever loves me, good. He'll know that I'm sick, and this way he'll be able to daven on my behalf. As far as somebody who doesn't like me, and we know that Rava was the Rav in the Rosh Yeshiva in the city of Mechuzah. And it's generally the case that people don't always like the rav of the community. He's always going to have opponents in the kehilah, and so it was with Rava. So anybody who doesn't like me, lech divi, fine, by all means, let him be happy about me. Uchtiv, because after all, the pasuk says, "Binfol ayuvchal tismach." When your enemy falls, then don't be happy. We have it quoted in Pirkei Avos, but it's actually originally a pasuk from Mishlei. Or vikoshle al yogil libecha. When he stumbles, your heart shouldn't be happy. Pen yira Hashem berabe enav, because Hashem may see it and it'll be bad in his eyes. Veheishiv may olam apoy, and Hashem will turn away his anger from him. Meaning exactly that. So that Hashem may turn away his anger from the other person and redirect it to the one who's being happy. So therefore, in effect, Rava is saying, you know what? If people are going to be happy that I'm sick, by all means, let them be happy. You know what's going to happen then? Then that way Hashem may redirect his anger from me to them. So one way or the other. So it's good after the first day to announce in this way, one way or the other. Either people will daven for me, or people will bring about that Hashem's anger will turn from me onto them. Okay. So now getting back to matters of dreams, which again, most of the sugya for the next couple of daven is going to be talking about different angles involving dreams. So the Gemara says, Shmuel kabachozach chelma bisha, when Shmuel would see a bad dream, and we learned a few days ago that tzaddikim often do see bad dreams, or at least other people see bad dreams about them, but still, sometimes it happens they themselves do also. So when he would see such a dream, and there's a concern that it may foretell something not so good for him. Omar, so he quote the pasuk, "V'chaloymes hashav yidaberu." The dreams speak nonsense. So in other words, I have nothing to worry about this dream because it's not going to harm me. V'chi havachaz achel matova. On the other hand, when he would see a good dream, have a matma v'omar, then he would say it. Then he would say it as a rhetorical question. V'chi hachaloymes hashav yidaberu. How could you say that dreams speak nonsense? After all, you have a pasuk where Hashem says about Moshe Rabbeinu, I speak to him in a dream. So one way or the other, he'd have a way of explaining that if it's a good dream, then he has nothing to worry about. Then adrabe, it means it foretells good for him. And if it's not such a good dream, then he has nothing to worry about. Which Marsha points out, the Loshana Pasuk there is V'chaloymes ha-shav yidaberu. Now, the hey over there is a hey ha-yidia, which means it says the nonsense. However, the fact is, in the simple sense of the Pasuk, it didn't need to say the letter hey. The earlier things in the Pasuk, the context of the Pasuk, it's talking about how false Nevi'im and magicians and whatever say things and they don't come true. So by all those things, it doesn't use an extra hey. So therefore, over here, where it uses the extra hey, ha-shav yidaberu, so therefore he's able to dash in that it's talking about that the hey can also be understood as a rhetorical question, meaning that is it true that chaloimus speak vanity? The fact is, sometimes there are in fact chaloimus that tell you a real truth. Okay. So in this connection, the Gemara says Rava Rami. So Rava pointed out a contradiction. Ksiv b'chaloyim adaber bo. You have one posik that says, we just said that Shmuel quoted both these psukim. On the one hand, a posik says, I speak to him in a dream. So we see that dreams have truth to them. Uchtiv b'chaloyim sashav yidaberu. On the other hand, you have a posik that says that the dreams speak nonsense. So what is it? Do they speak nonsense, or is there something true in them? And the answer is, Lekasha kanai de malach kanai de shem. The difference is, whether you're talking about a dream that comes through a malach versus a dream that comes through a shed. So the ones that come through a malach are truthful ones, and those are the ones that we say those are the ones that we say b'chaloyim adaber bo, that Hashem is actually giving the person a message through the dream. On the other hand, the ones that come through a shed, then those are the ones that we say b'chaloyim hashav yidaberu. One interesting explanation, what does that mean? A dream comes through a malach, a dream comes through a shed. What does that mean? What does that mean? How would you tell, for one thing, how would you tell the difference? So an interesting explanation is that a dream through a malach means that it comes from your that comes from your seichel. A dream through a malach would mean a dream that comes through your seichel, as opposed to a dream that comes through a shed would mean a dream that comes would mean a dream that just comes from a person's fantasies or something. Whoever that is, if you don't mind muting yourself unless you have a question, I'll deal with it. Okay. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Amar of Bizna bar Zavda, Amar of Akiva, Amar of Panda, Amar of Tanchum, Nachum, Amar of Biris, Mishum Zakin Echad. All of this chain of Tanoim and Amiroim is all in the name of one particular elder, Umanu Rabbana. Namely, who is that one elder? Is Rabbana. The rule is, before we get to the rule, actually, Esrim Ba Bar Poisri Chalomis, there were 24 people in Yerushalayim who used to interpret dreams. So the Banal says, Pamachas Halamti Chaloim, one time I dreamt a dream, Vahalachti Eitzel Kulam, I went to all of them. I didn't just go to one of them to hear what the dream means. I went to one after the other. Masha Posalizeh, like Posalizeh, with the interpretation that one of them gave, the other one did not give. So every single one gave it a different interpretation, v'cholam niskayim ubi. And in fact, all of them ended up happening to me, l'kayim, mashinem, akol ha'chalem esoch and akrapeh. That fulfills what it says, that all dreams follow the mouth. Now, there is an enormous, first of all, Tosfos mentions that, so how is it some people have the ability to interpret dreams and some don't? So Tosfos says that a person has a mazel depending when they were born, so it's not necessarily dependent on chochma. A person has a certain mazel that they have the ability to interpret dreams. Mephoshim asked, so how taka is it that, we have, for example, with Paris dream, we know all the Chartumim were trying to interpret it, and none of them could, and then except until Yosef. So there we don't say that all of them came true. We don't say, Kol HaChalom HaSafa, or Bechlau, how is it over here that one dream should have 24 possible different meanings? So there are different explanations. Ben Yehoyada talks about that maybe what it is he actually saw the same dream over and over at different times, and therefore each time of the day has a different mazel, and therefore there could actually be 24 different interpretations of it. So now, Bechlal, the whole question is, all the Rishonim and many of the Achronim deal with the question, what do you mean, Kol HaChalom Esoch and Acharapeh? What is that supposed to mean? The fact is, Hashem is giving a message in a dream. Why should it depend on what is interpreted with the mouth? Why shouldn't we? Hashem is giving you a message. There's evidently one particular meaning to it. How can you start saying that it depends on what somebody interprets? So there's a huge number of explanations. Hakosev over here has a very long discussion about it, explaining with according to several different explanations. One is that, again, we could be talking about when a person has dreams through his, so he mentions this point that we just said about it, dreams that come through a person's chochma versus dreams that come through a person's, through stam shtus that a person has in his head. So there'll be a difference between those, but as far as the ones that come through chochma, so one thing Akosev discusses, the possibility that maybe when we say Kol HaChalom Esoch and Acharapeh, we don't necessarily mean the mouth of the interpreter. Now, in context of the Gemara over here, that is what it means, because Rabbana is saying that he went to 24 different people and each one interpreted it differently. Taking it a little bit out of context, Akosev brings over here an explanation from someone named Rabbeinu Yedaya, who says that what it means is that, dreams go according to what you put in your mouth before you go to bed. In the sense, in other words, when a person goes to bed having overeaten, for example, then they're more likely to have dreams of nonsense, things that are just silly thoughts that are floating around in their head and that resolve themselves into dreams. So those don't mean much. But then you have Kol HaChalom Esoch and Acharapeh. You have, on the other hand, a person ate carefully, a person ate like a mensch, then his dreams are likely to be more meaningful. So that's one meaning of Kol HaChalom Esoch and Acharapeh. Then you have a lot of other explanations. Marshaw talks about an idea that the fact is, yes, a dream, as the Gemara is going to say later, certain kinds of dreams are even a nevuah katana. They're even a little bit mouth. They're even a little bit a miniature nevuah. But the fact is, you find sometimes that a nevuah will depend on how it's expressed. There can be a dream over here where the dream is ambiguous. It may be one thing, it may be another, it may be good, it may be not so good. And the way that somebody interprets the dream verbally is actually going to be mashpia on how that hashpah comes down the l'mayla. This is the idea that the Baal Shem Tov taught, and then the Rebbeim after him taught, that the idea of, for example, tracht with the Zayngur, the idea, for example, that what you say down here has effects in the Olam HaSel Yonim, the famous story with the Baal Shem Tov and the guy who said, I'll tear him like a fish. So the idea being, in other words, according to that, yeah, you can have a dream. What the dream means is actually still going to be up in the air. We learned previously that Rav Chisda had said that an uninterpreted dream is like an unopened letter until somebody expresses something about it. Latova, or the other way around, and then that actually affects how, the dream comes true. Then there's a lot of other explanations. The Abarbanel says that the Abarbanel disagrees with Tosfos, where Tosfos had said that you don't really need chachma for it. The Abarbanel says, sure, you need chachma for it. You need a chachma to know how. You need chachma to understand how dream interpretation works. But then also you need to have that. You also have to be familiar with this person that you're interpreting the dream for. Know what makes them tick. Know how they think. And with those kinds of things, you're going to be able to come up with an interpretation which is going to fit their dream and where the dream will come according to it. So in that case, with Rabbana and his 24 people, it would mean that each of them saw a different facet of him, and therefore they're able to, and therefore all their interpretations come true. The Hakosev mentions further another point in this, that it means also that a person's dreams have to do not only be said with the peh, as in what he ate before he went to bed, but also how a person speaks. If a person speaks Dvarim B'Tehillim, then his dreams are going to be of Dvarim B'Tehillim. If a person speaks Dibur Chochma, then his dreams are going to be something meaningful. Actually, this was in Hayom Yom a few days ago, where there was an explanation in one of the Hayom Yoms about a week or two ago, that when a person has dreams, when a person is yogeya, when a person works hard in understanding Torah, then the Eibishter can send him dreams where now he's able to understand Torah on a higher level. Then there's more on it. Hakosev himself goes on to explain in great detail another meaning of Kol HaCholim is Hochan Achar HaPeh, that it means that it means. So we said that Hashem gives a person a dream, and it may be something in order to worry him. But the point is that now he goes, and again he finds the positive aspect of that dream. Where then the Chacham is able to, when, in other words, what happens is the Chacham gives him a good interpretation. That alone, or we had before, Atavas Halon, where you get three people together, that alone makes it that it gives him the incentive to do tshuva. So they're telling him, in effect, do tshuva, and then this potential Gzau Din that was on you can be transformed into something good, and in that sense it can go Achar HaPeh, because they actually transform it by getting him to do tshuva and then being a different person. So there's that, and there's many other explanations of what it is about, how it is that Kol HaCholim is Hochan Achar HaPeh. So getting now back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now we said the expression, Mashenemar. We said that it says, now usually Shenemar is on a positive. So Mash, Lakai Mashenemar, Kol HaCholim is Hochan Achar HaPeh. Otu Kol HaCholim is Hochan Achar HaPeh Kohu. Since when is Kol HaCholim is Hochan Achar HaPeh? What positive does that come from? And the answer is A. As a matter of fact, yeah, it's not, the Pasuk doesn't say that in so many words, but the Chidur of Elazar, we learn it like Rav Elazar says, the Amr of Elazar, Minayin Shekol HaCholim is Hochan Achar HaPeh, how do we know that all dreams follow how they're interpreted verbally? Shenema, Vayhi Kasha Posolanu Kein Hoya, the Sana Mashkin says to Pare, that as he interpreted for us, so it was. So in other words, we're meant to understand that the point was that each of these dreams could have gone a different way, After all, Tamar Shah brings in this connection. Later on, we're going to have examples of a bunch of things where a person sees a certain thing in a dream, and it, in and of itself, that vision that he saw could mean something good or not so good, and then it's interpreted a certain way, for example, based on associating it with a certain pasuk. So the same thing over here then. So the Sana Mashkim says that the fact is, my dream could have meant something not so good for me, but and vice versa, the Sara Oifim could have meant something good for him, but it wasn't by Hitasha Posolanu, as he interpreted for us. Kein Hoya, that's exactly how it was, so it worked out exactly the way he said. However, However, Rava says that would only be if the interpretation matches what it says in the dream. In other words, you can't just come up with something out of left field and say that this is the interpretation of the dream. Shenema, Ishkachalayme Poser, as the Sada Mashkin continues over there, he says each one he interpreted according to his dream. So earlier, in fact, when it says Vayar Sara Oifim Kitoy Poser, when it said the Sara Oifim saw that he had explained well to the Sara Mashkim, then he told him his dream. So Menoya, how does he know that it's a proper interpretation? How does he know that in fact it kind of fits what the Sara Mashkim had dreamt? Amar of Elazar Melamed, you learn from that. Each one of them was shown in the dream his own dream as well as the interpretation of the other one's dream. So now, in other words, when the Sara Oifim heard the interpretation that Yosef said, then he realized, hey, you know what? That exactly matches what I dreamt about the Sara Mashkin's dream. And by the way, I think you can see from that, how little they cared for each other, after all, in the morning, they were both upset. If either one of them had gone over to the other and said, what are you upset about? And he had said, I had a strange dream, and I also had the interpretation of another dream, then they would have asked each other, and they would have gotten the answer from each other, and they wouldn't have needed Yosef at all. But they were too full of themselves to even think of doing that. It took Yosef to notice that they're upset and to do something about it. Alright, on to Yom Yom Mashiach HaGola. So sort of Yud Tevis, the fast day. We know that La'osid Lover, that the fast days will be cancelled and will turn into Yom Tovim. So B'pnimius, a Yom Tainis, a fast is Yom Rotzem Hashem. It's a desirable day to Hashem. This is the day when the inner Tov of the negative thing that happened, that because of which we fast, this actually connects with what we just said about dreams. You can have a bad dream, which nevertheless there's a hidden good message in it, as the Gemara is going to bring many examples of that later. So here we have in the same way, on a Sod of a Tevis, on any fast day, it is a Yom Rotzem Hashem, as we just heard in Haftarah. So it's a day when you have on the face of it, there's a negative thing that happened, and because of that we're fasting, but really you have the good that's in that thing is revealed. So you have there's revealed the inner aspect of the Ava that the Eibishna has to the Jewish people, like you have when a king who himself washes off the filth of his Ben Yachid because he loves him so much. So the same way, the Eibishna is not just leaving us for things to happen on their own. He himself, Kavyachal, is washing off our filth through making these things happen. As we will see by the Golan, the Kisvash Lema, as the Rambam in fact paskins, that all these fasts will be bottled in Moshe Mashiach, and not only that, there'll be Yom Tovim, there'll be days of Sos and the Simcha, as in fact the Pasuk says in Zechariah, where Hashem says that Somer Revi and all the other fasts will be Leves Yehuda, the Sos and the Simcha, the Moed and Tovim, for our Emesvash Shalom Ahavu, and the Navi tells them, love truth and love peace, because that's how you'll bring about the Mashiach will come, and that way we will actually have these fasts transformed into days of Simcha. Going on now to halacha and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, we're in the middle of talking about the halachas of bracha achrona. So after mezonos, you start alamichy v'alchakola. The end of the bracha is v'nerd l'chala t'alamichy v'alcha teshem ala t'alamichy v'alchakola. The Alter Rebbe we know doesn't hold v'alchakola; he just says alamichy. There's a famous thing that says about the Rebbe Yitzchak Berditchever that he also held, like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to end the Alach HaKola, but he knew the Alter Rebbe doesn't hold that way and didn't write it in the Siddur. So he used to say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Ala Oretz V'Ala Michir V'Ala HaKola, Zok Nishtem Mechutin. So this way he's saying it, but he's saying that the Mechutin doesn't say it. For wine, it's Ala Geffen V'Al Priya Geffen, and finishing off Baruch Ata Hashem, Ala Oretz V'Al Priya Geffen. For fruit, it's Ala Eitz V'Al Priya Eitz, finishing off Baruch Ata Hashem, Ala Oretz V'Al Peiris. In Eretz Yisrael, or even in Chutz La'aretz, if you're eating Peiris of Eretz Yisrael, instead you say, Ala Oretz V'Al Peiris Seha. Now, the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring that on the Siddur, actually, so there is some discussion of whether the Alter Rebbe agrees with that concept, or whether he would still say that you always say Allah or it's Vala Paris. And we'll talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, when you eat a bunch of them together, how you say the bracha, how you combine them together. Mm-hmm.